Hi, friends. Owen Locke and Rick Talley here from Locke & Company Distilling.
First off, we'd like to thank Sam and Jay at the Unfiltered Podcast for all they do in our industry, community, and more importantly, it's just good to work with great guys like them. Owen and I are Colorado natives. We've spent more than a decade perfecting our Aspen-aged rye whiskey, and we think it's well worth the wait. Rye whiskey usually isn't for the faint of heart, but we have to say this is hands down some of the smoothest rye on the market.
That comes from our 95% rye, 5% barley mash bill, and our unique aging process. We age our whiskey in smaller 30-gallon barrels for a minimum of 2 years, and then we finish the rye by adding hand-cut and hand-charred aspen discs harvested from our family property outside of Fairplay, Colorado. This artisanal process produces an extremely smooth rye with notes of light brown sugar, cinnamon, to balance the spiciness of the rye grain, truly delivering a taste like none other.
So, if you enjoy gold medal winning spirits, want to support small business, and need a gift for the holidays or for yourself, please consider making Locke & Co. Aspen Aged Rye Whiskey your next purchase.
You can find our Aspen Aged Rye Whiskey at many bars and restaurants and most liquor stores on the Front Range and throughout Colorado. Check us out at lockandcodistilling.com. That's L-O-C-K-E at lockandcodistilling.com. Cheers from Rick and Owen.
The limits, but not
too hard.
Yeah,
very excited, Jay, to finally be talking to the guy behind this place.
Because this place has a storied history too.
My word, been here several times, a lot. It's not far from campus, so I'm really jazzed, if you will, sir. Could you introduce yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Jack Meyer. Okay. I'm head brewer and now general manager as well at Renegade Brewing Company. We're really rolling in the extra titles there these days.
So do you have to change your signature on your emails?
Absolutely.
With each person that you're.
No, I keep it as head brewer. I don't want to sound too pretentious all the time.
Okay. Jack
just
Meyer.
Just on podcasts, not necessarily every email.
Can you tell us the address of Renegade Brewing Company?
The address is 925 West 9th Avenue. That is Denver, Colorado, 80204 if you need to send us mail.
This guy's perfect.
Who sends mail anymore?
What's
Jesus.
Mail?
Yeah. I would like to point out that it is right off Santa Fe at 9th Avenue. Because,
absolutely. We're between Santa Fe and Kalamazoo.
Yeah. For years, I'd see the sign and wouldn't even stop in. That's how long you guys have been here. So let's – how long have you been brewing for us, Jack, for Renegade?
For Renegade, I've been brewing since mid to late 2014.
Holy
so
shit.
We're going over 6 years now. Yeah, I started out washing kegs back then. I originally started at Rock Bottom downtown and then – came over to Renegade, was washing kegs, doing kind of bitch work type of stuff. Other than a little hiatus in 2017, I moved to Indianapolis then and worked at a couple buddies' breweries. But other than that, I've been here for over 6 years now. It's kind of crazy.
Was the plan when you went back to Indy, like, to start your own place? Or was it more like you wanted to help your buddies? You
know? My family lives there still, and I kind of thought maybe I wanted to move back to Indianapolis. So okay. I decided to give it a go, but just didn't stick.
So that's your origin story in Indianapolis?
Yeah.
Okay. Colts fan?
Yeah, I used to be. Used to be more involved in, like, watching games and stuff, yeah. But too busy with the mountains these days.
Aren't the crew from Factotum big Colts fans too?
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Yes, they are actually.
They're like crazy Colts fans.
They've held a couple of GABF parties for Indianapolis, Indiana people. So in past years, my buddies have come to town. We always pop over there.
You end up passed out over at Factotum, huh?
I'm definitely always riding my bike there and back for sure.
That's crazy because, it's a good conversation to have because – we think about Denver, we think about Northern California, we think about Boston, but Indy's got a fantastic craft beer scene.
They got some heavy hitters for sure.
Holy shit. What are the big names you got?
The two biggest are Sun King and Three Floyds, but I think Upland Brewing is the third biggest, or at least they were. Okay. I used to work at Upland Brewing's tap room in Carmel, Indiana.
Okay.
Before I ever started brewing, but that was like one of my first toe touches into.
That's the fancy. World. That's the fancy suburb, right? Isn't Carmel the fancy?
Carmel is the fancy suburb. It was absolutely. A lot of cute Carmel moms coming into that tap room for
nice.
Asking for wine or.
I'll give them whatever they would like. Wine, beer.
So what's walk it back. What's your relationship to beer? I know you started here, but I mean, what got you into craft beer to begin with?
I started drinking beer in college, I guess. Like, normal 30 racks of PBR, but my brother's friends were a little bit more sophisticated when it came to beer, and I remember them running to the liquor store one time to get a mixed sixer and saying, just get me whatever you think is good, and they came back with a bunch of stuff that I guess like probably the first six pack that made me really think, like, damn, this beer can taste like this?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's awesome.
From there, what was it? Do you know? Do you remember?
It was Old Rasputin. North Coast, Russian Imperial. That was the first one that I was
That's a hell of an intro.
I was going to say.
We're going from PBR to Russian IPA. Ooh, Russian Imperial.
I probably had like a fat tire or something in there, but
yeah, those are
of that caliber.
What made you think, I keep cutting you off. We got to, our eye contact needs to be better. We've been doing this via Zoom.
Yeah. Our bedroom eyes are out of practice.
What made you think you could do this for a living?
Good question. Because
you got a journalism degree. Let's just go there. How do you get from journalism to here?
I started homebrewing at the end of college when I was finishing my journalism degree. Just had spent a lot of time sitting in front of computers the last 4 years and knew that I wanted to do something with my hands. Okay. And brewing has turned out to be a really good like mind and body job for me because obviously it's pretty demanding on both fronts.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't know for sure that I could do it, but there's always a lot of cooking going on in my house growing up. I know a lot of brewers like to cook. I think that's probably where I got my passion for mixing ingredients together and being stoked, or I guess not stoked sometimes, on whatever comes out.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You go ahead.
I don't know where I was going, so yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so you got Denver, what did beer bring you out here then?
Partially. I knew that I wanted to work in beer and that those was a good place to do it, but I also wanted to be in the outdoors, and this seemed like a good place to do both of those things.
Okay.
I know what I was going to ask. Did you ever use that journalism degree?
I have gotten paid probably two or three times for news stories, but other than just like a few stories for porch drinking here in Denver that I did like 4 years ago now, I haven't really used it much.
That's all right. That's more than I think I've been paid for my degree.
We need to do a show with Tristan Chan. We really need to. Cross collab.
Yeah, for sure.
Audience.
Absolutely. Another
great
talker as well.
Yeah. More sophisticated than our audience.
He is. He knows his shit, for sure. Well, in terms of craft beer publications, are you reading much now? Like, what does a brewer read to kind of know what's going on, or do you give a shit?
I give a shit a little bit. I am, in general, a pretty bad beer nerd and beer fan. I am somewhat of an adventurous drinker, but I don't know. I'm kind of stuck in my standbys these days.
Okay.
Haven't been reading a ton, but I think probably for the most part, I'm talking to brewer friends, shooting texts here and there. What do you think about this technique? What do you think about that? Yeah. How do you feel about 6 pounds per barrel? And 6 pounds of hops per barrel in your IPA? Things like that.
See, we know nothing about actually. I mean, I've tried to make beer once, but we just
have to drink it. I ignore the whole. Like, I have a very, very solid theory that I don't want to make it. I don't even want to know. I mean, the basics are good. But if you're doing your job right, I don't have to worry about anything else.
That's a valuable perspective as well.
That's what I learned in film school. I don't really give a fuck how movies are made. I just like to watch movies. So then I got a bunch of degrees in them that got me nothing. So, okay, so you're out here. You got a job at Rock Bottom downtown. What was that like?
Yeah, did Hick ever come in and shoot a little nine ball? Or
who?
That's Wine Coop.
Oh, Rock Bottom, Wine Coop.
You're from Denver.
Rookie mistake, huh? Hey.
I got nothing, man.
Yeah, Rock Bottom's a Denver institution as well. Absolutely. Yeah, fuck off.
Wine Coop was, they say, the first craft brewery in Denver. They say Rock Bottom is the second.
Really?
At least down there they do.
See, there's always a reason for my questions.
For the third? Sorry, guys, I probably got that wrong.
Don't worry about it. Yeah, clearly I'm getting edited out already, so.
When did Renegade open?
Yeah.
Renegade opened in 2011.
Okay,
I was not here.
Where it was on? It was by DU, right?
So
they had an outpost.
This tap room was the original location.
Okay. Yeah.
And when I started in 2014, before even my first shift, they invited me to the closing party of that location.
Okay.
Which must have been like early to mid 2014. I guess
I was in school there, so yeah.
I only drank in that Renegade location once that I can think of ever.
I'm not a rich kid. I had to pay my way through college, and I will be paying my way through college for the next
40
fucking years.
Yeah.
So.
Same. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess although that location didn't work out at the time, in some ways, Renegade has been ahead of its time in that, like, the new craze these days is, like, you can't, if you can't find any more taps for your beer, make your own taps. You open tap rooms like Odell and everybody else here.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's an interesting point to be one of the first. I mean, shit, you guys were open in 2011. I can't even think of, off the top of my head, somebody in what I would call, like, the middle market craft breweries.
Breckenridge would have been relatively small and close at that time, right? Yeah. On Kalamuth, it would have
been. It wouldn't have been over there. Well, Breckenridge would have been over there. You're right. I'm sorry.
We used to go borrow supplies and sea boxes and stuff from them.
That's cool. So that's funny. Like, Breckenridge had satellites, but, I mean, you guys would have been precursors, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a bizarre thing to think about.
Yeah, it's weird to think about how long Renegade has been around.
Yeah, 10 years is mind-boggling in this day and age when you got breweries that used to, it seemed like, open every other day, and now it seems like you got at least one or two closing a week, unfortunately. To have a brewery that's lasted for 10 years is pretty impressive.
Definitely one of the brands, the craft beer brands that I discovered when I moved here in 2010. I mean, you guys were on shelves, you know, the tap room, this place, all of that. So you've made it. Congratulations.
Thanks. But I definitely cannot even take close to all the credit. There's been a handful of other head brewers here who have taught me a ton, as well as other owners.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you, as GM, what do you have to do now with this place? I mean, we can kind of jump around wherever you want, but, like, what does it look like?
Generally, my job is pretty similar. The main thing that's changed is that what happens in the tap room in the end falls to me now. We have a tap room manager who takes care of day-to-day operations, but otherwise, the nuts and bolts of what goes on behind the scenes is also falls to me.
Okay. So you started here what year?
2014.
Holy shit. I mean, that's a good run.
That's, like, yeah. That's pretty, I was going to say, not only is it a long stretch for a brewery, but somebody to be in the same spot for 7 years now, that's pretty impressive too.
So, I mean, you kind of have to tell the Renegade story. What is the Renegade brand? Like, explain to people from out of state who expect to know a little bit. I think of rye. I think of the rye IPA. I don't know. I mean, that's something that I used to buy in cans. Was that kind of one of the defining beers?
Yeah, it was definitely. I think originally the brand was defined by, I guess, taking more traditional styles but sort of putting a spin on everything, which I think has taken a few different iterations over the years with changes in head brewer. But I think for the most part, we stayed true to making beers that are specifically, intentionally not middle of the road. But I do feel like they all generally turn out pretty drinkable. They're not, like, whatever is weird about them isn't overly weird about them.
Okay.
They are still absolutely beer first and something different and creative second.
And how much of that is you, and how much of that is you leaning into a 10-year tradition? I mean, you've obviously been head brewer and GM for a good amount of time at this point, but
this is the first time that like the reins have really been off on me in general.
When you say this is the first time, like 2021,
post-COVID.
Okay.
Post-COVID is the first time that I've had 100% complete creative control over the beers.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Something good to come out of this shit show.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's been really fun, but I definitely do appreciate the direction that the brand came from originally, which is why you still see Redacted on tap, you still see Endpoint. Those are a couple of my favorites. And we'll have seasonals that we've done in the past that'll come back. Like, we have Hammer Imperial Stout on right now, but we have never done Coffee Hammer, so we have Espresso Hammer on.
Nice.
So I'm able to take what we've done in the past, do some new things, kind of, I don't know, correct some mistakes I think we've made in the past that didn't, where we weren't exactly following the intention of the brand originally.
Okay.
I think our hobby beers fell short in previous years.
Hobby beer.
We're back on track now.
I like that. I don't know if we've heard that phrase before.
They got them out there now. Yeah.
Yeah. What's a hobby beer?
Hoppy.
Oh, hoppy.
Mm-hmm.
I think my ear. Yeah, I'm fucking.
It's a fucking Carhartt beanie, and now he doesn't.
I've been wearing
this. Yeah, style ain't easy.
Quite some time. I can't hear shit, though. Hoppy.
Hoppy beer.
Yeah, delete that, too.
No, I'm keeping that sumbitch in there.
Yeah, you guys edit this stuff, right?
No, God, no.
A little bit, but mostly just the shit that I say.
So what are you doing? I mean, I guess obviously you're brewing, but you said that you are able to kind of do your own thing. Now, what are you doing? What are you trying to do to the beer that makes it Jack's beer?
Makes it Jack's beer. Really, I'm just trying to do more.
Don't get too graphic.
I'm trying to do
beer by yourself.
I'm trying to do bigger and more, and I think in the past sometimes the intent on some of our, especially their production beers, have been to go above and beyond, but we haven't necessarily made that mark. And now that we're back to our roots, where we're just a small neighborhood taproom now, we have the ability to put 10 pounds per barrel of hops in an IPA and still like break even on it, at least, you know.
Okay.
We can take more risks, and other than that, trying to brew as small batches as possible to put out the freshest product possible.
Really?
Which I think was also a shortcoming. I think everybody has, I guess, in the craft beer industry, many folks have a shelf life issue, just where it's difficult to go through all the beer that you make, especially in a competitive market like Colorado. So having the advantage of having a small tap room, having a 15-barrel system that I can just half-batch on, and being a salaried employee, like, I don't really care if I have to brew another 5 times at the end of the year to make sure the redacto is fresh every time you get it.
That makes a hell of a lot of sense.
Yeah, I like that theory. I mean, and you think about, too, the effects of COVID on just your walk-in traffic alone. Why would you want to sit on it for any longer than you absolutely have to?
Absolutely.
So you're dumping in more hops. What, I mean, what else is going on there?
Coffee.
Renegade
hasn't generally been a sour brewery in the past, okay. but we're definitely always going to have kettle sour on.
Golden Strong, is that? I mean, that doesn't seem like it would be a standby. Well, maybe it would be for Renegade.
It's not. The Golden Strong we have on right now is not really anymore, but originally was a collaboration, you could say, with Good River Beer, who we were merged with,
right?
Over
so there's some stories
part
there
of last year and the year before.
Yeah,
we'll get into that.
That was a recipe one of my buddies, Preston Hartman, made. Shout out to him. And
what up, Preston?
They had made it. They had made it pre-COVID, put it into barrels. So when I got back here post-COVID, it was still sitting around in barrels.
Wow.
Still tasting pretty good.
But how long did you guys just lock this bitch up and walk away for 3 months or what?
It got locked up basically from June 1st until like late July.
Wow. June, really?
Yeah.
Why then? I mean, I would think that people would be wanting to sit outside.
I'm trying to think. Why
2020
then?
Was fucking, that was 8 years ago. Like,
so,
I can't.
So wild. I blame my hearing loss on 2020.
I can't tell you, I couldn't tell you if I wanted to in detail of why it took that long for everything to close down after March. I think it probably just had mostly to do with the managers down at our production facility at the time working through what it would take to stay open. And it kind of took that long, I think, for them to decide and have the realizations that maybe it wasn't going to work out the way that they'd hoped.
What's that like for a brewer to have, you know, I think we don't get your perspective enough. Somebody else is pulling the strings or doing the planning and all of this stuff. You're the one who just has to, you know, keep – you're basically here. You're the one who's working 12, 14 hours a day keeping the ship afloat. Is that stressful? Are you losing sleep at night? Like, what is that like?
It's stressful for me mostly – or it was stressful back then for me mostly, I think, because it's, first and foremost, not my money funding this stuff.
Yeah.
And second of all – I was not an owner of either Good River or Renegade. So there's no like extra hours that I could work to make this happen. Like there's no extra work that I could put in to help us stay open, which I guess is kind of nicer in this situation where since it is a little bit more on my shoulders, if things like start to go south, you know, I can start delivering beer myself or, hit doors around the neighborhood with advertisements. Who knows? You know?
Yeah,
think outside the box
just
a little bit.
It's just nice that in this situation, if I wanted to work harder, there are possibilities for that. But like in that management structure of a bigger brewery, it's like you're just like you're a cog in a machine, and you can only do.
How much involvement does ownership have now? I mean, like, are you beholden to what they're up to? You said they gave you a little bit more. The reins came off, but is this? I don't want to say. A lost cause, so to speak. That's not the right phrase that I'm thinking of, but is this just an investment for them that if it performs well, it performs. If it doesn't, they can keep changing up the model. Because it seems like that's one of the big things that Renegade, in my mind, is stands out as constantly changing. There's always a little bit something going on that affects. We got a bigger facility over here. It's gone. We've got the second tap room. It's gone. Partnership with Good River. It's gone. Yeah. I mean, you guys are constantly evolving.
Management's pretty far removed at this point.
Is it? Okay.
They're involved enough that, you know, we talk every week. I bounce ideas off of them. But as far as, like, making beer goes, that's not their expertise. So that's pretty much all left to me. We'll talk. We'll have. They'll give input sometimes. And when I say they, I should say Silver Fox Partners, who's our main financial backer now. They'll give input, like, we saw that your labor is a percentage of sales was over 45% on Mondays and Tuesdays. Let's think about closing up those days. And genuinely, that might sound annoying, but for me, I don't have that business background right at all. So having their guidance is pretty nice, actually.
It's a good marriage of your
yeah
crafting skills and their acumen in the business world.
Being around beer for as long as I have the instinct for a lot of that stuff, I think. But having the validation of somebody who runs businesses for a living is nice.
What makes them... is it Silver Fox that we said?
Yeah.
Is this a bunch of gray-haired dudes?
It's good-looking gray hair.
Probably actually not. Yeah.
It is one gray-haired woman who used to be a Xerox CEO, okay, and her children, it's the Mulcahy family, okay, and her along with her kids run the company.
What, I mean, you're talking to them. What makes them love craft beer so much they're willing to just continue writing this thing out?
I think they're personally beer people, but for the most part, they're, from what I gather at least, I can't speak for them entirely, seems like their business model is to provide funds for established brands to take that brand to the next level.
Wow.
And that's what the intention was for the initiative to open the production facility. But
so how long has Silver Fox been involved?
I was just thinking that same thing because I was guessing you would ask that.
Yeah, that's a.
I think that it was 2016 or 17.
Okay, so you've seen some transition. You've seen some change.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
When I started at Renegade, we had the cellar built at the production facility, but no brew house. So we were using this brew house to brew out into our delivery truck in the alley. Shit. With two plastic totes in it. And then we would truck the wort down the street and pump it into our fermenters. And we did that for like 6 months or something.
Holy shit. I remember there being some weird stuff.
What does that do to beer? Just out of curiosity.
It.
You're not the only one who's done. I mean, like, I know.
It happens.
Guaranteed.
It happens a lot more than you would expect. But it just like creates so many opportunities for infection. That was a time where we weren't having every batch tested for infection. So,
oh, wow.
I can tell you at least taste wise that summer, there was no hiccup, okay, which I was pretty surprised by. I talked a lot of shit about pumping wort into trucks before we did it. I just want to put that on the record.
Is that sacrilege as a brewer to be doing that?
I was pretty upset about it at the time. I think nowadays, after more years in the industry, I'm more jaded than I was before. So if I was presented with that obstacle again, I would be more on board with just how do we figure out how to do this right rather than...
Well, I mean, if you look at it, right, there's news just this week, in the last week, that Great Divide was pumping their beer into trucks and then moving it from point A to point B.
They've
so
been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. You guys, yet another reason you were a precursor. You were probably doing it before they were.
Yeah, I thought it was crazy then, and it still is, but...
It's a little nuts to think about, but I'd love to find that truck stuck at an intersection and, you know.
It got towed once full of wort.
Really?
Yeah. The tow truck driver was pretty pumped when he found out what he was.
I bet. Holy shit. What about the guy that was driving the truck that day?
Yeah, he was not.
Not as happy.
But, it reminds me of that Coors commercial where the emergency, whatever, snowplow guy comes to get the Coors truck out of the snow on the way to...
I don't remember that commercial.
Super Bowl commercial, wasn't it?
I do remember a time in college, though, when I was working at the bank. A beer truck went driving by outside my window, and it was the guy left the garage door open on the side of the beer truck, and like 30 cans just went bouncing out of the truck as he turned right. So I've seen it myself.
I love your logo. I've always thought it was so awesome.
It was early, right? Their logo is super classic. It's been around for a long time. That's what I keep thinking about too, right? Like, the cans always stuck out on the shelf. The sign always drew you in. And I got to just point out, too, the fucking railroad ties and the railroad spikes for coat hooks on the bar here are amazing.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's like, I'm going to just steal this concept.
Do you think that, you're good. Do you think that now a Renegade or a Fermentro would make it at DU or a college campus? Like, have we come that far now where I think if there's one thing good that came out of COVID, it's a return to just the tap room model.
I still don't think that that this version of craft beer is going to succeed the way you want it to in a college environment.
Okay.
I mean, what was the biggest hang up that Fermentro dealt with was being right next door to what? The Sports Inn or the
Stadium Inn.
Stadium Inn, yeah. Like, kids wanted to go in and get their $2, 32 ounces of PBR or fucking whatever. And Fermentro, a Renegade back in the day when it was over there, I think it appeals more to a sophisticated, it's still a more sophisticated palate, a graduate student, graduate level type, like social atmosphere. And you're, even if it's DU, right? Your average college frat kid or sorority sister, they just want to get fucked up for as little money as possible. Yeah.
It takes a lot of time to really, like you said, refine that palate and appreciate beer in the same way that, not to say you and I are massive beer aficionados, but we drink good beer.
Yeah, we're entitled, I think, a little bit because of who we know and who we play with.
Yeah.
So that's the which one? All right. Don't worry about it. I'll just have that. Yeah, we'll make it easy. No, don't apologize. Yeah, you're getting me a beer. I appreciate it.
I just I like the space. I do. It's nice. It's cozy. I think it's cozy.
It's warm in here. It feels good. I remember being here with the garage door open on a summer day. Uh-huh. Bar was crowded. Patio was crowded. It's a walkable neighborhood too, which I think is a huge.
Yeah.
Huge impact. And that's one of the things I want to ask Jack about too, because this brewery, above a lot that we've talked to in 9 months. Say that again? Golden Strong? Am I confusing you? Am I confusing myself?
I was reading an article today about the safety of restaurants and breweries since COVID hit. And it's pretty amazing, just the lack of – these aren't spreaders, you know?
Yeah.
Which is kind of – I mean, restaurants – it's on you to not be a super spreader, right? Like, and I think schools in the same way, it's those jackasses that are at grocery stores sneezing on people.
Well, and if you look at it, you're 100% right. Schools aren't the super spreader locations or events. Breweries, I've had, in the last 6 weeks, more meals inside – an establishment than I probably did in the first 6 months of the pandemic. Yeah. So, but again, I mean, I wonder how much of Renegade's ability to persevere currently or over the last 6 to 12 months has to do with just how concentrated the people are. Yeah. The neighborhood is, I mean, it's like I said, it's super walkable. It attracts those kinds of people that want to walk to their food and their drink and their entertainment, unlike a declaration that was on a train line, and really kind of relied on people getting on and off the train for a specific reason. So
even Crazy Mountain down the street is a block and a half away from a neighborhood, and it seems a little stranded over there.
Well, and Crazy Mountain's been that's true. Crazy Mountain's a friend of the show. Never done an interview. I'll point that out. But they are friends of the show. But they also...
You've never interviewed John Allshouse?
That means John Allshouse is a good, good, good friend of mine.
Shout out to that guy who just lent me 20 case trays the other day. Thank you, John.
Oh, boom. John Allshouse, you're getting a fucking text tomorrow.
Can we finally get Crazy Mountain?
Yeah, you guys haven't opened the fucking tap room in 11 months. You might as well do an interview.
Yeah, for sure. Ooh, shots hey, fired. Wow, I heard that. No, I mean, boom. How important has Santa Fe been to... you sustaining throughout this fucking pandemic.
It's been super important. We have a good crew of regulars here, and they came right back after we closed for 2 months during the pandemic. 3 months, I guess. And now that we are a neighborhood taproom brewery again, we are trying to be of and about the neighborhood a little bit more often and hoping to direct our philanthropy dollars towards the neighborhood when philanthropy dollars exist again.
All right, let's not speak in euphemisms. Give us some examples. Like, what are you planning to do?
Just would like to put any dollars that we were spending on philanthropy before into arts in the area specifically. And if we can find a good way to focus on Black, Indigenous, people of color, person of color communities, even better.
I mean, this place is built for having a wall of just art.
Hell yeah, it is.
Absolutely. And I mean, do you get a lot of traffic? I would assume you get a shitload just coming off. I mean,
yeah.
How big is the art walk for you?
Well, yeah, first Friday night's got to be huge. When or if it happens.
We used to take all the tables and chairs out of here during first Fridays for standing room only because it was so busy. Yeah.
Interesting.
Absolutely. And yeah, no amount of to-go beer can make up for that, unfortunately.
Interesting. What does that tell you?
Makes total
arts
sense.
And culture are going to suffer as much as anything else from this fucking.
What do you have to do as GM, right? Put that GM hat on to prepare for, like,
how do you offset that?
What kind of planning goes in your head knowing, okay, this is coming? Because you're not just brewing, right? You're not just doing brewery schedule. Now you're, okay, we got to keep this thing going. What are you thinking through in terms of month by month or maybe even week by week as you move forward through these slow weeks? In months.
We're trying to avoid doing anything like mobile canning if possible. Okay. We really would like to keep it with the taproom model, make everything here, sell everything here, which is why we've got heaters and greenhouses. And
those are super cool, by the way.
Just thanks.
We should have done the interview in that.
We could have.
It's not too late. just trying to find ways to get creative and trying to bring people in here. We got new can labels coming out and some to-go beer specials coming up.
Okay. You want to pronounce them right now?
I should have brought one of the cans. they're right behind me. Grab one,
dude.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we edit. Like I said, I get cut out all the time, so.
Do you do food trucks here, Jack? Or what do you do for food?
We used to, but now we're doing Rocky
Mountain
Pizza.
Okay.
And soft pretzels from a...
I know, I saw that German soft pretzel on there, and I got a little excited.
We got German soft pretzels that have been doing pretty well. People have been liking
these. Wow.
Who did these?
My buddy Skylar Elzey is a graphic designer in Portland, Oregon, and has just done a lot of really cool branding.
Keeping it in the family, too, huh?
I like it. You know, G and I were talking when you were over there. COVID sucks, and it has sucked, but I'm okay with the return to the smaller business model that everybody's kind of had to turn to.
Because I prefer it, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's how craft beer was supposed to be, right?
Yeah. Running a production facility and being the captain of a big ship like that is fun and rewarding, but just getting to go back to being a little cellar troll like I used to be and just work by myself is pretty enjoyable as well.
In craft beer, I mean, when Charlie was home brewing, I don't think that he ever thought that this is what craft beer could have been or wanted it, right? I mean, this is pretty beautiful.
I don't know, think about it, though. How much does this... In all the ways positive that I think this should be in my brain, how much does this feel like you're having a beer in somebody's garage?
Yeah.
And Jack made that beer for you.
Yeah, thanks, Jack.
No problem, man.
It's a good beer.
Scrappy, not crappy, is what we say.
Ooh!
Hey, bing bumping.
Yeah, I like that one.
That's good. Okay, so what are you doing to draw folks in? You know, you had mentioned, you know, some outreach, some neighborhood investment, all of that stuff, but are you... high on social media? Are you doing ads? Like, as GM, again, this is your responsibility.
We haven't been doing a ton of ads. I've been focusing mostly on collabs with other local companies.
Okay.
We recently did an ice cream collaboration with Little Man Ice Cream.
Uh-huh.
They took our espresso Russian Imperial Stout and put it into a, like, kind of beefed up Rocky Road type of flavor.
When did they do that?
It's pretty damn good. They did it just before the holidays, and yeah. I have a few pints in the fridge.
So nice. I'm taking one of those with me. Nice. Little Man used to do a craft beer, like, flight of ice cream back in the day, like, every January or February, and it was amazing. You'd go up there, and they'd have, like, a Blue Moon orange sherbet, and dude, I'm taking, this, I'm, boom, boom.
Go ahead.
We're trying to do something fruity with them again in the summer, hopefully.
Well, you said you're bringing on the sours, too.
Yeah, we
so
got guava sour.
Do it. That ooh, that sounds like an awesome ice cream.
How do you measure ROI with that kind of stuff? Like, is it your job? Is it Silver Fox's job? I mean, those collabs are great, but they, at the end of the day, this remains a business, right? Mm-hmm. Are you getting more foot traffic? Like, how can you, as the guy who runs the show, see it working?
It's so hard to measure these days just with nothing to compare it to because our pre-COVID numbers are not comparable to what we make now, so I don't have a good answer on direct answer on that for you, but we're just trying to get as many friends involved with making beer and involved with this brewery as possible. My brother works over at Pablo's Coffee and made sure that was the coffee that went into the Russian Imperial Stout. So
excellent.
Actually, it's a three-way collaboration. Pablo's Coffee Imperial Stout going into Little Man Ice Cream made by Renegade.
Holy shit.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that is cool.
A little trifecta.
I dig that.
It's almost like, Jack, it's almost like March 15th-ish last year. Everybody started from scratch, and you've basically spent the last year of your life running a startup.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Are you going to ask more questions?
No, that was strictly a statement.
I feel like this
I'm not helping today. I'm not helping today.
We're going to talk for an hour afterward.
I'm not helping today.
No, it's okay. Your brain's fried. Do you live down this way?
Now we're getting personal.
I live in Five Points.
Okay.
I got a 15-minute bike ride.
Where do you go to drink your beer if it's not here?
That's a great question.
Oh, dang, where do I go to drink my beer if it's not here? I do a lot of OMF, our mutual friend.
Spang-a-Lang.
I was going to ask if Spang-a-Lang was on the list.
I don't go to Spang-a-Lang a lot, but I am not sure why. Huh. I've been a few times since I've lived over there, but I kind of forget about that like little Spang-a-Lang Rosenberg's nook and cranny over there.
I love those boys, but those beers are big.
Yeah, they rough you up.
Big beers.
They're pretty tasty. I do like their stuff, though, for sure.
Oh, my God. What do you foresee, happening along Santa Fe as we kind of move forward? When you opened up shop here, it looked a lot different than it does now.
For sure. It looks way different. It hasn't seen quite the stark change that Brighton Boulevard has seen.
Oh, good point.
I don't think that this neighborhood gets quite as much investment as places like that, which is kind of why, I don't know, in my mind, being the underdog in the equation, us versus the Santa Fe beer district versus the Rhino beer district, not really comparable anymore these days. But at one point, it used to be more comparable. Yeah, but now that you got Blue Moon over there, you got Odell, and Ratio wasn't there before.
It's not a fair comparison,
but
frankly.
This is technically Auraria, right? Are we still in Auraria?
I think this is considered Baker.
Oh, it is Baker? Okay. I was wondering if there was just some sort of reason why can't.
It seems like the investments are slowly rolling in, though. Like, we got a gigantic, I don't know how many, 40 apartments that are.
You got another one going in on 6th Avenue. I mean, there's a ton of shit going around right around the corner.
Two on Inca that just opened up. Yeah, so there's definitely more people coming into the area, so. I hope that'll help businesses boom around here a little bit more, just having a little bit more density. But
we used to call the spot over off Spear next to the King Supers. We used to call that Melrose Place.
Oh, did you go there a lot and like hang out with models or something?
Never hung out with model.
No.
But that's just kind of the way it felt back in the day.
They also just cut down Santa Fe to two lanes instead of three.
Where?
Did they really?
Right here?
They sure did.
What the hell? What were they thinking there?
I know, you barely even noticed. They're trying to create more capacity for foot traffic.
Okay.
I don't know if that was COVID related. Now that I'm thinking about it, maybe it was. But first Fridays down here were good before, but adding that extra room for people to walk around and be comfortable on the sidewalks, I think, is a plus.
Yeah. From one Midwesterner to another, what do your parents think about you making beer?
They're pretty stoked on it. My parents have been drinking beer since I was a kid. There's a lot of Milwaukee's Best going around in my house.
Beast.
When the money was thin.
I love that.
For sure. But my dad has, at this point, he's like past craft beer and he's into bourbon now. But
I feel like it's a natural progression.
Is that really? I'm wondering recently if that's it's a lot less calories in two stiff
those
bourbons.
12 percenters get expensive. You just buy a bottle of bourbon.
Yeah, for real.
Do that. Where can we find Renegade on social media? Do you know?
Damn.
Exactly. Renegade Brewing Company.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're on Instagram as Renegade Brewing Company, as well as Facebook. Have to admit, though, the website is on the fritz at the moment, but we're on it.
And you can always find them at 925 West 9th Avenue, Denver, 80204.
Absolutely.
Did you prepare for that? Did you find the address?
I've got to weigh in somehow.
Dude, you got a good memory.
We're going to get off the recording because I just want to talk to this guy for a while. It'll probably be a little easier to.
Yeah, Sam's gonna turn on the other recorder.
You got a dinner date with the wife, with the mistress, who?
With the girlfriend.
Ooh, where are you going?
Spang-a-Lang. He's going to Spang-a-Lang.
We're hitting up Hop Alley, so Spang-a-Lang wouldn't be a bad little appetizer.
Holy shit! Have I been there yet?
When's the last time you had a date?
To a restaurant?
To anything?
Dude, I don't know. We've fought about that many times in the last year.
I miss it.
Haven't been to Hop Alley yet either.
All right. We expect a full report, Jack.
They got a little ice fishing tent.
That'll be the Renegade 2.0.
Are you an ice fisher?
No.
Fisherman? My brothers are.
I just went ice fishing on Saturday for the first time ever.
I got to take my kids.
Best fucking part was actually the drill with a massive bit that you drill the hole with. The rest of it really was boring as shit.
Yeah.
And there was no beer because it was a bunch of kids.
If I could just drill holes with that thing all day, that would
just
keep me,
be it.
That
dude.
Would definitely keep me satisfied.
Oh, actually, truth be told, the drill was great. The fucking massive crack that occurred in the ice as I was standing there talking to somebody scared the shit out of me. And we're talking about ice that was 15 inches thick, people.
I would be fucking scared.
Scared
well.
The shit out of me. Yeah.
Jack, thank you so much. My God.
Thank
it's,
you guys.
No,
fellas.
We will.
Thanks so much.
Our after recording conversations are always better than the recording conversations. So, Renegade Brewing Company. Are you guys still canning at all?
We're canning them one at a time off the Crowler machine.
Boom.
Fresh filled right in front of you every time.
Come down here, fill up. I mean, half the fucking people who listen to this are downtown working anyway. So give these guys your business.
The other half of you are working under the stairs.
Don't forget to check the dates at the on the bottoms of your craft beer cans. If it's older than 3 months, come down to Renegade and get something fresher than that.
Oh,
wow. GM, don't forget to spay and neuter your
and
pets.
Brewer. Yes, exactly.
Whoa.
Yes.
That was a moment right there. The price is wrong, bitch.
And with that, thanks, everybody.